Conti. You know, everyone is concerned with the threat of terrorism and potential global effects of that, but even more terrifying is what experts estimate. There is a currently a 50% likelihood that in our lifetime there will be a catastrophic health epidemic, some infectious disease that could sicken 300 million people and kill 30 million, causing mass social upheaval, making it the worst event in history. Joining us tonight is Harvard Medical School physician, chair of the Global Health Council, and author of the acclaimed book, End of Epidemics, The Looming Threat to Humanity and How to Stop It, Dr. Jonathan Quick. Hi, doctor. How are you?
Good. How are you, Karen?
I'm good. I'm flu-free, and I'm good. You know, I read your book cover to cover, and it's alarming. And it's something that we don't think about as we walk through life. But I want to talk, first of all, about the flu epidemic of 1918, which, strangely, is we have our 100th anniversary this year. It infected 500 million people, killed somewhere between 50 and 100 million worldwide. What do we know, and what have we learned from that epidemic?
Well, what we know is exactly the numbers that you're quoting, that 50 to 100 million people died. This happened right in the closing months of World War I. And what we now have found, there was a lot of debate about what started it. It was a flu virus, a swine flu virus, a distant relative of the current flu viruses, which came out of Kansas, was actually transported with our troop transports unintentionally, and went worldwide in a matter of months. It hit hard because it was a flu virus that we hadn't seen in several decades. So there was a lot of people susceptible, and it was a particularly vicious flu virus. So it hit people at all ages, and including people in the 20 to 50 age range, which is the group that usually is not as affected by flu. But it killed across all ages and really spread around the world.
And I just in the last week, since I knew I was going to interview you, I saw the Wisconsin Department of Health warned of Disease X. There was an article in on the internet, and then about a week ago, Forbes published an article called Disease X, What May Become the Biggest Infectious Threat to Our World. So this is being talked about quite a bit, and you're sort of on the forefront of this as what I think you've referred to yourself as a global health journalist, which is kind of an interesting phrase. But tell me why are we so worried about it happening again? And what about our current social climate, if you will, would make a flu virus even more devastating maybe than the one from 1918?
Well, there's something we're better off in a number of ways than we were in 1918 in terms of having a stronger health system and knowing a lot more about public health. But on the other hand, we're four times the population, we're twice as urbanized, we're 50 times more, we're flying internationally 50 times more than we were then. We're also cutting into the forest, and three out of four new viruses, new pandemics come from the bush. Climate change is going to affect the mosquito population. The mosquito that carries the Zika virus and carries dengue fever and yellow fever, that mosquito is going to be in more places. We have a huge food industry, and the particularly chickens, but chickens and pigs are part of the whole flu-generating cycle. And so there are a lot of risk factors.
Doctor, there was a quote, I think this is your quote from the book, somewhere out there is a dangerous virus boiling up in the bloodstream of a bird, a bat, monkey, or pig preparing to jump to a human being, and the threat makes nuclear war or terrorist activity pale in comparison. You know, we think about these horrible diseases, monkeys in Africa, we think about mosquitoes in Brazil, but we can be very concerned about our local and domestic animals as well. Isn't that true?
Yes, I mean the fact that we had the 1918 flu come out of here, but also the 2009 swine flu. The virus may well originally have come from Asia, but the first outbreaks of the epidemic were cases in California and near right next door in Mexico. So we're not safe. There are risks here too.
Tell us just briefly, how does a virus or one of these infectious diseases happen? It's, say an animal, a pig, has this sort of disease, and how does it hop from animal to human?
So let's take two or three real examples. AIDS was the first new human pandemic in several centuries, perhaps several millennia, which has killed 40 million people, infected 80 million. That started in actually 1920. Was probably some hunters in the southeast of Cameroon in Africa eating some bushmeat. Some monkey worked its way slowly down to what was then Zaire, and the Belgian Congo, and just smoldered. And in 1960. When the country became independent, some guest workers from Haiti who were working in Congo got sent back to Haiti, and then the epidemic took off from there. That was the disease X of 100 years ago. Almost 100 years ago, getting started. In 2003, there was a totally new virus, the first new virus of this century, that came from a bat. Got into a small animal, a delicacy meat there, a civet, was eaten by a physician who traveled to Hong Kong, infected more than a dozen people from the ninth floor of his hotel room, of his hotel in Hong Kong. That spread within weeks to 27 countries. So those are a couple of examples of how a new virus can turn into a pandemic.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that you advocate to try to either prevent or to be ready for such an epidemic. You're listening to the Karen Conti Show. I'm talking to Dr. Jonathan Quick on WGN.
It was the flu pandemic, and it swept the whole world wide. It caught soldiers and civilians, and they died. Whether lying in the trenches or lying in their beds, 20 million of them got it, and they're dead. There was a
welcome back to the Karen Conti Show on WGN. Isn't that kind of a sick song? But that's what happened, and that was the song that commemorated the 1918 flu epidemic. And with us tonight is Dr. Jonathan Quick, who wrote a great book called End of Epidemics, The Looming Threat to Humanity and How to Stop It. Welcome back, Doctor.
Thank you.
Had you ever heard that song before?
No.
Yeah, it's.
You know, the world. I've seen the words written, but I haven't heard it.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting but sick song. Time magazine last week had an article online. The world is not ready for the next pandemic. This topic is being discussed more often and more often. Why isn't the world ready, Doctor, for the next pandemic?
Well, the fundamental reason is this cycle that we have of panic and complacency, or panic and neglect. So whenever we have a new or big disease outbreak, there's a lot of panic, and there are commitments made globally and nationally to improve the systems, to invest in innovation, and to follow through on building our defenses. What happens is that when the headlines are gone and people are back to their regular jobs, the budgets are cut, the staff is reduced, and the promises aren't kept. Because the key thing is that the scientific and public health community knows what needs to be done, but we're moving too slowly with too few resources because of this cycle of panic and neglect.
It you know, you just feel like you hear this America first and we're safe, but there's no wall for pathogens. I think you said that somewhere in a quote. And we are so exposed. My husband and I just spent 20 days in Vietnam and Cambodia, among other places, and I just realized that the risks there are so much greater because of their lack of health care, lack of clean water, lack of sanitation, lack of any food standards that I could see. And if something were to happen there and I'm on the flight back, this is a global problem. This is not just a problem that goes country to country, and that really we need some sort of global attack mechanism if this thing were to happen. I mean, and that's what your book's about.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And you're completely right that a new pathogen, a new deadly virus can come from anywhere. It's often come from Central Africa, but others have come from Latin America, many from Asia, and there's no reason why one couldn't get started here. And the problem is that we have a great public health system. That's actually a good thing. And we really, our Centers for Disease Control is preeminent in the world. And at the state level, we have a system where the states assess their readiness every year. But only one out of three countries worldwide have the ability to detect and rapidly respond to new outbreaks.
So
the outbreak that hit the news that scared everybody back in 2014 and 15, the Ebola outbreak in West Africa, there had been 22 previous outbreaks in Africa of Ebola. All of them ended with just a few hundred cases and even fewer deaths. What was different about this one was that it smoldered over months before it was detected. And as one of the congressional representatives from Texas said, when Texas suffered because they did have an Ebola death and some infected nurses there, I'd rather fight Ebola over there than here. So there is, when it comes to infectious diseases, the idea of America first is meaningless because we can't protect ourselves unless we help build the defenses worldwide and invest in the innovations, the new vaccines, and the other measures that will make us ready to and able to prevent.
You know, there's the SARS virus killed 800 people, which I'm not going to say only 800 people because that's 800 too many. However, the stats that I saw indicate that the global economy suffered $54 billion because of SARS. Can you describe why that kind of thing happens and why these kinds of epidemics are not only devastating health-wise, but globally in the economy, that it could really be a very bad thing for our entire world financially?
Well, it's what we call the epidemic cascade, which you have a direct impact of the epidemic, of the deaths and the illness, and you have the aversion behavior, the risk avoidance. Together, you get impact on the health system, you get impact on schools and school closures, and you get an impact on business. So although SARS did not kill many people, that economic impact was because it cut air travel and business to Asia by 50% at the peak. Some of the cases got out. Toronto was one of the cities where SARS came, and they lost $1 billion. The mayor of Toronto was furious about the fact that the warning had been called, but it hit them. The Zika virus that causes these horrific birth defects, that knocked the tourism business in Florida. The swine flu, similarly in Mexico, and so on. So the business has a lot to lose, and 40% of businesses that are closed in the U.S. by a disaster don't reopen. So that's jobs and livelihoods. So it really is a cascade that in the end could hit the economy as bad, the world economy, as bad as the 2008 recession.
I got a couple quick questions before we break. You talk about bioterrorism a little bit in your book. From what you know, is that a real possibility? Do you think that in our lifetime we're going to see that? We haven't really seen a lot of that, and I guess I'm surprised having read your book, but do you think we're going to see that from what you know?
Well, it certainly is a real threat. I mean, we've had IS computers, Islamic State computers have been seized that have very specific detailed plans. They have talked, they have worked through and actually have done radio interviews in the Middle East on being able to bring a suitcase full of anthrax. Actually, that's a lot of anthrax. And killed several hundred thousand people. The South Korean Ministry of Defense is reports that they believe that North Korea has 10 has access to 10 viruses of pandemic potential, including smallpox and anthrax. They haven't. There's no evidence they're weaponizing it at this point, which is tricky. But the reality is, when they set themselves to do something, they've moved ahead. So it is a real concern. What I will say that part of that building defenses for any outbreak is helpful for whatever, whether it's accidental, intentional, or natural.
Doctor, I wanted to say that your book is really interesting. I think everybody should read it. It's very readable, so if you think it's too technical, it's not. You do have some technical explanations, but you have a lot of very interesting examples that we can read about, and you've been all over the world, and you've been involved in these issues. So I highly recommend End of Epidemics, A Looming Threat to Humanity by Dr. Jonathan Quick. Where can people get your book, Doctor?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any online bookseller. There's more information at on the website, End of Epidemics. And, I mean, one thought I want to leave. Our generation has left the generations to come a world that is less sustainable because we move slowly on recognizing global warming. I don't want to see us leave a world that's less safe from pandemic threats. And as I say, the scientific and public health community knows what to do. We just need to come together and put the resources in, which actually are very, the cost of preparing ourselves is very small compared to the unprepared.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jonathan Quick, a very important book.